I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
And it's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum.
You falsely accused me of being involved in a racial incident.
He said you were
racist.
He said
you are racist.
He said he worked.
You are very racist.
He said he worked.
You're going to be dealt with.
He said he worked for you.
It's going to come to light who you really are. It's going to come to light who you really are.
Hey, just answer one question. Yes or no?
What about the fake person?
Yes or no?
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning. After a couple of sort of emergency work-related rebroadcasts on Friday and Monday, we're back live this Tuesday, May 25th, 2021, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It's a wild and dystopic ride. There's a pandemic. Wait, there's not a pandemic. No, everyone's getting vaccinated, and it's perfectly safe. It's perfectly fine. So now we have to return to, speaking of Breitbart's message there, the message of critical theory. In this case, it's the offshoot or corollary of critical race theory. We're being subjected to this notion that, how does CNN put it? America reckons with racism 1 year after George Floyd's murder. And I was having a conversation yesterday with my sister, actually, one of my sisters, about how the media and social media are, as Chamath Palihapitiya put it, ripping society apart. Maybe we should play that clip. I threatened to play that clip again recently when I mentioned it, I don't know, within the last couple of weeks. But when he was, I asked her, you know, did you ever see his interview back in 2017 at the Stanford Graduate School of Business? She said no, and I said, well, that's what he said, you know, former C-level executive at Facebook says, I feel tremendous guilt. I think we all knew in the back of our minds, you know, we were doing this. We didn't want to admit it, basically. But he said, it's literally at a point now where I think we've created tools that are ripping apart the social fabric of how society works. And we have to, it's time to consider making a hard break, he said. Remember, he said, I want to play it, but, you know, we can't play the expletive. But he says, you know, you people here are the most susceptible to this. It was as if Larkin, Texas himself was, you know, speaking to these college kids saying, you're the most vulnerable because you've been checkboxing your whole expletive lives. In other words, you've been living in Skinner's operant conditioning chamber your whole lives. You love it there. You are the poster child for that condition that Aldous Huxley talked about at Berkeley back in, what, 62? Where they've created a situation, a condition of life that is intolerable, unbearable, and you guys think it's great. You think it's funny, and you demonstrate that when Chamath says what he says, and you laugh. You guys are the most vulnerable. You've been checkboxing your whole lives, and they laugh. Whether it's uncomfortable laughter or not, who knows? I don't think it was. It didn't sound that way to me. It just sounded like they thought it was comedic timing. No, I don't think he was joking. I think he was very serious. So, as we're having this conversation, you know, I mentioned how the media essentially lies. You know, we've grown up in several generations now, have grown up with in a society where we have had this messaging that's dishonest. Talked about that quite a bit over the years, and people don't realize it. Everyone thinks they're immune to it. You know, and again, here are just a couple of examples. The Hidden Persuaders, Vance Packard, 1957. Carl P. Reiter, I Can Sell You Anything. I forget. 1972. And he started, you know, there's the introduction on page one, but chapter one is titled The Elements of Advertising, or What Goes Into Your Head Comes Out of Your Pocket. And, you know, it's just a straightforward street level assessment. Chapter two, Weasel Words, God's Little Helpers. Three, A Baker's Dirty Dozen of Claims. Four, Demonstrations, or The Words Are Quicker Than the Eye. Five, The Emotional Sale. Try it, you'll like it. Six, Fads and Trends. Everybody's doing it. Seven, Legalisms. The defense rests and rests and rests. Eight, Major Advertisers. The more things change. And nine, Quiz. So he basically starts out in chapter one, The Elements of Advertising, or What Goes Into Your Head Comes Out of Your Pocket. And I've read excerpts from this before, but he just sort of starts out saying, well, he basically says, you know, you think you're immune, and in the introduction as well. You think you're immune, everyone does, but you know what, if you are immune, you're the only person. So are advertisers just really stupid, spending millions and millions and millions of dollars every year for over 100 years now, or maybe is there something going on there that is so subtle and undetectable it's missed by most people, and we are indeed influenced by these things? I want to go through some of the how the social engineering works today a little bit. Because, you know, I think most of us miss how it works, you know, how it's a fascinating thing, and I keep sort of coming back recently to this idea, this concept of original sin, and how the greatest coup now in this age is that it's been sort of institutionalized, the quest for knowledge, you know, forbidden knowledge. And I think that's where we are. You know, again, if we're not careful on this broadcast, on this network, I think if we're not careful, we run the risk of basically becoming the Pied Pipers on the road to the tree of knowledge and the knowledge of good and evil specifically, and the forbidden fruit, essentially, of the garden. And I think the proof is in the pudding. You know, first of all, the Lucius Trust work of the hierarchy dictates that we all need to be on board with this march to the quest for the knowledge of good and evil. And second of all, it seems to correspond to an uptick, a rise in the level of consciousness, which isn't helping. You know, good guys and bad guys seem to agree, if we could just elevate the level of consciousness, things would be better. But you know what? It ain't working. It ain't helping. Why is that? And somewhere in there, at the near the apex of the pyramid, you have the perfectibilists, the Adam Weishaupt types, Spartacus, who say, you know, man is inherently flawed and fallible, but we can perfect him. $6 million man. Da-na-na. And so the way that we do that, the cultural Marxists say, is we plunge man into utter depravity, and then, you know, once we've done that, he comes through the other side perfected, which is ludicrous. And it's sort of rooted in the dialectical conflict model. If we collide everything together, which again reminds me of communitarianism, if we just collide everything together, we just throw, you know, over time we just rattle everything together, then we'll come out with the best. Man will be perfected. And it's just absurd. We're going to collide everything together. One of the ways that I heard this dialectical nonsense and the lies manifest was an interview. Who did that? It was an interview with Kentucky Congressman Tom Massey. And just the way that you've heard it. Everyone is so beleaguered from the battle of just kind of utter nonsense that you kind of, capitulate or acquiesce to the sound bites when you hear them a little bit. I don't want to fight about it. And I think if we're doing that, who really are vigilant, there are a lot of folks who are vigilant about what's going on and maintaining the truth, because we can handle the truth, right? If those folks are saying, you know what, I'm not going to fight about this. I'm just going to, whatever. You're wrong, but I'm not going to fight about it. Then where is the rest of the general public? There are some things said about, in the interview I caught a glimpse of with Massey, some things about, you know, vaccine and herd immunity and whether you have had it and you are, you know, you've been vaccinated by nature or you get the vaccine, was kind of the dialectical synthesis of the discussion. You know, whether you've had it, I'm not advocating that you go out and get COVID, but, you know, I mean, whether you've had the vaccine or you've had it and you have the antibodies, then it's kind of the same thing. So, you know, and that's horrifying. It's not kind of the same thing at all. But that's where we are with this dialectical merging of all things. the answer should be like Nancy Reagan said, just say no. It should just be no. No. That's all. I don't need to discuss it. No, it's wrong. Why? Because it's wrong. If I must say, it violates my conscience. It violates so many things. I don't need to explain myself. It's just wrong. And there's no reason for you to force me to do it. If you think it's a good idea to do something that's clearly injured many people, maybe we'll get into that more, then more power to you. However, I don't think, you know, I think I will withhold my participation. It doesn't seem like a good idea to subject myself to a study group that closes sometime in 2013. That just doesn't seem wise. I'm not a guinea pig. I'm not a lab rat. But then I'm explaining, and now we're fighting. See how that works? Anyway, it's ridiculous. So that's one way. And the conflict is an aspect of manipulation and social engineering, the dialectical conflict. And we're all supposed to be fighting. Jaron Lanier has told us all about that and wrote a book, 10 Arguments for Deleting Your Social Media Accounts, right now. And that was after You Are Not a Gadget. You are not a gadget, a manifesto. You do not belong in the Internet of Things. You are not a thing. You're not a gadget. We've gone beyond the point of absurdity, beyond the point of diminishing return with technology, and he warned us. Anyway, I was having a conversation with my sister, and the way this, you know, sort of went was the media is selling us these lies. Like this thing about George Floyd, I mean, a lot of questions. A lot of questions. We went through a show trial. We watched The Grapes of Wrath, or was it OJ or whatever. The gloves don't fit, you must acquit. America reckons with racism. I thought we were reckoning with a pandemic, CNN. So this is a lie. You know, it's a falsehood. It's a logical fallacy of assumption and association. America, like all 327 million of us, are reckoning with racism. Did you know? I was unaware that we're reckoning with racism. We're not. We're just being told that we are so that we can fight about it. Like we fight about everything so that we can merge things and normalize things. And part of the social engineering is when you introduce these things, people will say, well, it, you know, doesn't affect me. You get, when you sort of get saturated by it and to it, you're talking about it. Whereas before you wouldn't have had a conversation about it. And that, in a dialectically oriented society, is, you know, how you just keep moving this agenda forward on down the line. You introduce things that are absurd, and then you present them eventually as well, it's just the way it is. As a matter of fact, essentially. Matter of fact. You start with introducing something that's absurd, get people to fight about it, eventually you end up, you know, with the assertion that it's matter of fact, like CNN is doing. And from start to finish, it's all lies. But through the power of social media and the media, mainstream media, generally speaking, and the dialectical conflict model, this is what's happening. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
That guard this roost, beyond your flowers of flaming truth, beyond your latest ad campaigns. An old man sits collecting stamps in a room all filled with Chinese lamps. He saves what others throw away. He says that he'll be rich someday.
You know, if the social engineering doesn't work, then why psychological operations? Why mimetic warfare? Why why so many things? Well, you know, why has it been institutionalized in war? Seven phases of unconventional warfare. Phase one, resistance and external sponsors conduct psychological preparation to unify population against established government or occupying power and prepare population to accept U.S. support. And U.S. support has to be thought of in context here. Because obviously we are, you know, this is, these tactics are being applied to us here. Phase two, initial contact. U.S. government agencies coordinate with allied government in exile or resistance leadership for desired U.S. support. Phase three, infiltration. SF team infiltrates operational area, establishes communications with its base, and contacts resistance organization. Phase four, organization. SF team organizes, trains, and equips resistance cadre. Emphasis is on developing infrastructure. That's interesting. Phase five, buildup. SF team assists cadre with expansion into an effective resistance organization. Limited combat operations may be conducted, but emphasis remains on development. Phase four, employment. UW forces conduct combat operations until link up with conventional forces or end of hostilities. End of hostilities. Phase, That's phase six, employment. Phase seven, transition. UW forces revert to national control, shifting to regular forces or demobilizing. That's one way to look at this. Then from the Unconventional Warfare Pocket Guide, April 2016 edition, you have the overt and the clandestine. That little iceberg or pyramid or whatever. Beneath the surface, this is what's happening from bottom to top. And so I'll talk more about this. First, we'll go to the phones in a second here. But let's just pretend that everything that we are led to believe about the George Floyd story is completely true. Let's just pretend for a minute. Let's just pretend it's all true that Derek Chauvin did what they say he did, and it's not weird that they work together, and, you know, we will forget about the Masonic connections and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Setting all of that aside, taking everything at face value that CNN wants us to believe, is this issue now, you know, America reckons with racism? Is the story that we were told about George Floyd and Derek Chauvin something that we see in America anywhere, ever, on any given day? Or is it becoming more readily apparent that the CIA mule, George Soros, is funding some of these shadow organizations to conduct destabilization operations so that we can tell police that they're bad and encourage young people not to become, dissuade them effectively from becoming law enforcement or to get out of law enforcement so that we can deconstruct local law enforcement in lieu of a global police force. Now suddenly the streets are filled with violence and chaos. I thought you guys told us, you know, that it was going to be a summer of love. Right, Mayor? I thought it was going to be a summer of love last year, Mayor Jenny Durkin. Right? Oh, wait, until they show up at your house. Can't we all share some Ben and Jerry's? Anyway, we'll go to the phones when we come back. Stick around.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day
Welcome
is
back.
Done, that's what I mean.
Extended esoteric musical interlude. Here's another way the propaganda works, you know.
relief factor. Is it really the relief factor, Joe Piscopo, or is it, you know, the plastic surgery that has your face stretched tighter than a gnat's rear end across a battleship, as my grandfather used to say? Well, maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, you could bounce a quarter off his face, but you probably couldn't bounce a quarter. The same quarter would disappear into his neck or his hands. I digress. We'll come back to this unconventional warfare stuff and how insurgency, you know, how a successful resistance or insurgency is conducted. What is the operational structure of that? What does it look like? And tell me if these things don't correlate directly to our American experience in recent years. Why is that a concern? Well, it means that, you know, we're living on a giant anthill. I've used the analogy of the football game. Remember the old football game we used to have that, you know, it was electrically powered. It had the little magnetic deal that would vibrate, and depending on how you turn the knob up and the whole board vibrates violently, and all of the players that you stand up, they all move around and fall over and stuff. That's what's happening. It's kind of like that, or it's like we have these little clandestine ants. We're living on this clandestine ant farm in America, and unbeknownst to most people, because it's so subtle and indetectable to most, the ants are just carrying us off to somewhere else. And you really can't feel it under your feet or your bottom while you're sitting there being carried off. So everybody denies that it's happening. I'll get to the operational aspect of how a successful resistance or insurgency is conducted in a moment. To the phones first, Rhonda in Missouri, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Chris.
Good morning, Rhonda.
How are you?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm just living the dream. How are you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am really interested in, you talk about this a lot, so how, I don't know who, but how your mind works and how you can totally just ignore something that's happening. So, mm-hmm. Like, for example, my nephew and his girlfriend were over here for dinner the other day, and my sister, not his mom, my other sister, says, okay, like, this is fun. Who took the shot? Okay.
Wow.
And he and his girlfriend both raised their hand, and she's a bad influence on him, let's just put it that way, because
yeah.
Had he not met her, he wouldn't have done it. I might have been able to reach him before he did. And then I was listening to the end of John Moore's show, and he was saying that a world-renowned virologist, I guess he won the Nobel Peace Prize, he just blurts out, everybody that took the vaccine is going to be dead in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I got 4 people to bury so far that I know of. If that's true. Now, how do you reach those people? It's too late for some of them, but, I mean, for the people out there in your audience who haven't and people who are on the fence, what do you say to those people?
At this point, it's difficult to say, I think. You know, confirmation bias is lying to the people who have done it. This effort justification stuff that people don't understand, the IKEA effect, so to speak,
yeah.
Where we wore our masks religiously and we got the vaccine when, you know, we were all told to, and look, now it's going away. Yay, why aren't you doing this? Because we are the courageous. We are the ones who have stemmed the tide.
Mm-hmm.
And it's it doesn't necessarily translate to reality, but that's what people are telling themselves. Whether mm-hmm. they're saying it consciously or not, that's what's happening.
My sister started to go into everything bad about it, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden it was like, we don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, Exactly.
That'll make it away, won't it? So if we don't think about it, if we don't talk about it, it's not real, is it?
Yeah. Repressive tolerance in full effect.
Yeah, I don't know.
Selectively decide what we're going to discuss and how we're going to discuss it.
Yeah. Well, I sent you a few emails, probably more than I should have, but I get on a roll, and I'm like, oh, he's going to think I'm a stalker or something, but this is all good information. But you can actually make your own hydroxychloroquine at home. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. Very.
Yeah, I sent you a link. But all you have to do for your audience is look up how to make hydroxychloroquine at home. And it's really interesting. It's like you take, and I would totally use organic because you don't want the sprayed stuff on it, but grapefruit peelings, lemon peelings, and you boil it, and then you drink it like a tea or something. It's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, the other effect, if you think it's working, it will.
Absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the mind thing. It's like, oh, I'm getting better. Yes, I am.
whether you think it will or you think it won't, you're right. Mm-hmm. Who was it? Was it Napoleon Hill that said something like that? Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, but the Nobel Peace Prize winner was, his name is Luke, L-U-C, if people want to look him up. M-O-N-T-A-G-N-I-E-R, Montagnier. He's French.
Luc Montagnier was one of the first guys. Remember, he was the guy who said in the French interview that the Indian research team who identified some strange things that look like this, you know, is, you know, it's a coronavirus that has AIDS spliced into it.
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy who said, yeah, you know, I don't have to guard my funding for my research now. So I'm just going to say, you know, looking at their research, I think they're right. So he was the one who said that, and the whole world went, what?
Right.
Anyway.
He calls it a vaccine. Sherry Tenpenny says what does she call it? Something else. It's not a vaccine. It's something else. But anyway, because it doesn't fit the definition of a vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
But here he says, they do not stop the virus, but they work in the opposite way, making the virus stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called immune enhancement, stupid.
Right, right. And it's so disturbing because when I watched the Sherry Tenpenny video, somebody asked her, is there any way to reverse it? And she said, no, people are working on it, but there's nothing. They can't find anything. It's, you know, with the spike proteins and all, you're pretty much done for.
Yeah.
She said the same thing. So unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And my niece got it, too. My brother's daughter got it. My aunt, my mom's last sister she's got two sisters. I forgot about the other one. But she got it. I'm like, now they want me to go out. They want me to be in their presence. And I'm like, you know, how do I protect myself? I mean, there's all this information that says it'll work. But like, you're like, don't touch me. I can't hug my nephew anymore. Don't touch me. And My niece's babies, her twins, are over here, and they're holding them. And I've heard nightmare stories about babies, you know?
So there was, and speaking of babies, I mean, this is the population that's least susceptible to this nonsense, whatever it is. And so why are we even talking about that? Speaking of that, Larry actually sent me an email back on the 20th about the America's Frontline Doctors led lawsuit, the motion filed in federal court to prevent the FDA from authorizing COVID-19 vaccines for children.
And, yeah, yeah.
You know, that was part of the discussion, you know. So the 12,000% increase in deaths with the vaccines, you know, is to say it's unprecedented what we're seeing, the recommendation that this be given to people. And I mean, if it's still a thing, then why is CNN off to racism and not saying we're still in the throes of a pandemic? It's very selective. And so it should be obvious to folks. What do you tell people? I would say turn off the screens. Listen, this is a serious issue. If we're really in the middle of a health crisis like we're being led to believe, turn off the screens. Just, you know, each one of us for 30 days maybe, and let's just see how we feel. Do we really feel after 30 days of no screens? I mean, I'll answer the phone, sure. Answer email when I have to, but I'm not out. I posted something on social media for the first time, I think a couple of days ago, just because I saw something. Somebody sent me a video on Facebook, and then like it does, you know, when that one's done, immediately it wants to scroll on to the next one. Before I could catch it, Nancy Pelosi was speaking, so I reposted that and said, Nancy Pelosi is the personification of communist agitprop, which was not to be hyperbolic or melodramatic or sensational. It was more academic, just to say, you know, she's a textbook example of communist agitprop. But I think if we just turn the screens off and then what do you call it? Get back together essentially after 30 days and see how we feel. Do we feel like we're in the, you know, we're in the throes of systemic racism and we're gripped by a pandemic, or do we feel like things are kind of natural or fine? And when we turn the screen back on, oh my goodness, crisis.
Yeah, I just was, go ahead.
We have to ask ourselves why. Why are these things happening, you know? And was it you that sent me something about the push to give the vaccines to inmates or something? They're being incentivized?
No, that wasn't mine.
Somebody,
that's okay,
somebody
though.
Sent me,
yeah.
I don't remember exactly what it was, but the gist, I think I glanced at it, and it said something about inmates are being incentivized with different kinds of tchotchkes to take the vaccine, and it was Larry. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's true, it's horrible. If it's not, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it shows up. But we're seeing that in different ways. I saw it actually in a local school, I think. A local school in Montana, I did see that, actually. They're incentivizing people to get the vaccine and tell their story. And basically, it's propaganda, manipulation, coercion. You know, if you do this thing, you're a star, and we'll give you some tchotchkes and stuff. And it's a, you have to wonder why the push to, if it's just good for you, why do we have to do this? And why children? Mm-hmm. Because they're the least susceptible. Why?
People right. I heard something about they don't even transmit it, whatever. I forget why, but they're not super spreaders or something. But you know what they did with all this, Chris, is that they put us, you know, when somebody in your family comes down ill, and I've had this with my mom, but you are put on the defensive. You always want to be able to be on the offensive, like, you know, just maintain your health.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah.
Eat well, you know, get exercise, that kind of thing. But now what they've done is they've even put healthy people on the defensive, and that's not a place you want to be. I'm just saying, it's very disturbing. I just wanted to talk to you about it because you have so much knowledge about, you know, you talk about the mind and how the mind works, and maybe there's one thing that somebody out there can say to somebody, because I mean, their families are going to get very small.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. All right.
It's,
well, thanks
it's...
for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thanks for your call, Rhonda.
Appreciate it. Okay. Have a good day. All right.
You too.
Bye.
Thanks. Yeah, it's a very sad thing. I think the two things that I would say, you know, what can you say? I think we can lead by example. I think turning off the screens is not a bad thing. And just we're being, I mean, good grief. The gaslighting is so just over the top at this point. You're not supposed to believe your own lying eyes and ears.
You're not supposed to believe that mechanism inside you that makes you recoil in horror at the thought of putting some experimental DNA altering. No, it doesn't. Yeah, it does. I mean, everything is lied about. There's nothing that's sacred. And again, you know, I think the humiliation aspect of it comes into play. Speaking of warfare, humiliating those who have their head screwed on straight to the point that, you know, we're going to destroy all resistance. I mentioned that Polly St. George, Amazing Polly, has done some videos where she talked about that, pointing to Sam Vaknin's research, in particular, your body as their weapon and, you know, your body as a torture chamber kind of stuff. And your mind as well. Definitely, the healthy are under assault, no question about it. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs at Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you.
These days are all happy days. These days are all with me. These days are all.
Welcome back.
Here's another way the dialectical nonsense works. The 1619 Project just won't go away, despite the fact that it is, you know, inherently flawed. It's just a total propaganda stunt. It, you know, Project creator Nicole Hannah-Jones, blah, blah, blah. Not really. On May 4, 2020, the Pulitzer Prize Board announced the award of the 2020 Pulitzer Prize for commentary. And then in September 2020, renewed controversy arose over edits that had been made to the project without accompanying editorial notes, which critics, including Brett Stevens of The Times, claimed showed the New York Times was backing away from some of the project's more controversial claims. I thought, you know, it was either all true or not true at all. Isn't that kind of how the truth works? It's either all true or it's not true, and therefore if it's not true, then let's quit telling lies. But we're still talking about it. No. Nay. Fighting about it, because, you know, it's Marx's conflict a la the dialectical conflict model and critical theory, and it's you know, whatever you want to call it, adjunct critical race theory. We're fighting about it. Or, you know, some people are anyway. I'm not. So I think, you know, to answer the question, we can be the best example we can be, probably by turning off the screens as much as possible and just saying no, as Nancy Reagan said. I mean, there's just, do we all go have our Thoreau moment where we build a cabin on Walden Pond and say, just leave me alone, you know? Part of the conversation with my sister, you know, she says, well, what does happiness look like for you? I don't know. Being left alone and not invaded and manipulated and coerced to, I mean, that's the weird thing about what's going on. To Rhonda's question and point, you know, this desperate need to, and people don't understand it. They don't understand how they've been programmed, wound up like little Autobots and turned loose on society at large and one another to manipulate and coerce one another. And, you know, having dishonest and manipulative and abusive conversations, you know, terrorizing abusive conversations with others where, you know, you exercise selective objectivity, which is not objective, and having these conversations where you get to say your piece, but you want to prevent others from responding and then moving the goalposts or, you know, changing the game. Now, I don't want to play that game anymore. Let's not talk about that. Well, then let's refrain from talking about anything along those lines. Let's talk about the weather, I guess. Well, that could be controversial too. Never mind. So, you know, what do you do when people are desperately seeking confirmation bias? No, I need you to get on board and go along with this. Otherwise, I'm horrified at the prospect of what I've done to myself and my children. That's kind of where we're at. And what does a loving, compassionate person do? How do you respond to that? It's a very troubling situation that we find ourselves in because people have been beguiled into believing that eugenicists are our friends, negative eugenicists, and, you know, that experimental products that alter your DNA and have not been completely studied, even though somebody somewhere said they're completely safe, they're fine. People buy these things and then these messages, and then they desperately seek confirmation bias. Because kind of like a junkie, they don't realize that they've been acculturated to that line of thought, so to speak, and behavior. And it's painfully obvious to anyone who can stand apart from it at all and see it.